In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And today, first I thought we'd start today by talking a little bit about what we've done in the past week. I'm going to start.
Okay.
Only because I only have like a little thing to kind of talk about. Well, it's a little thing right now. It will eventually become a gigantic, enormous thing that's going to require a lot of work on my part.
But at
this point, it's just a little tiny thing. and then it'll be your turn to talk about what you've been doing this week.
Okay.
Because you have something important, I think, that you can share with the audience.
Yes.
That you've been doing this week.
Yes.
So what I did this week is I got myself a new little baby pet.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I believe I sent you a video of my new little baby.
Yes, you did. It is very, very cute.
Its name is Echo, and it is a Solcata tortoise. For anybody who knows about them, they get gigantic.
Yes.
They have shells that are like 2 to 3 feet in diameter, and they can weigh up to 200 pounds. They also live for 80 to 120 years. So this is an animal that will outlive me. I will probably have to have a will designed just for the care of this animal after I am gone.
Holy smokes.
I'm probably when I get close to like dying time, I'll be working on trying to find a zoo or a some kind of tortoise place for him to go, or it to go, I should say, because he's too little to know whether it's male or female. We're kind of referring to it as male for the most part, but that's why we picked a name like Echo that can be male or female. It's not really gender specific.
That's fantastic.
But at this point, it's like 2 inches in diameter. And I'll say this much. It's a little like, the whole thing is tortoises are supposed to be slow. You know, the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
Tortoise is supposed to be slow. This dude is a speed demon.
Yep. Yeah.
Zipping
about
all
right.
Over the place. And very little fear. It's just like, I'm going to go.
Yep.
Zip, 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 zip. And so much personality, so much fun. So I'm kind of excited. It's a pet that I've wanted for a long time, and eventually I'm going to have an outdoor pen for it because it'll be that large. You don't keep one of those inside the house.
No, nope.
It will destroy everything in your house.
Oh yes,
they will walk through walls. So,
damn. Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Kind of got a little present, if you will, for myself, and it was kind of nice to have. So that's my new little buddy. There will be reports about him. We've talked before about the fact that I already have a zoo at the house. We already have one other tortoise, a redfoot. Redfoot tortoises only grow to about 12 to 16 inches.
Okay, that's
adult
not bad.
Size.
Yeah.
So he's actually going to be the house roamer at when he gets to be about that size.
Nice.
We'll let him wander through the house and whatnot. His name is Bowser.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's
we
cute.
Actually about a month ago we also got a crested gecko and named him Yoshi.
Nice. Hey,
we still get involved with the video game type stuff. All of our pets for the most part have some kind of pop culture reference in them.
Yeah.
I mean, I have two what are those fish called? The fighting fish. I can't think of their names right now. The pretty Japanese fighting fish.
Oh, beta fish.
Yes, betas.
Yeah.
We got two betas. They're in two separate tanks in our living room, two separate little tanks. And one of them is Alistair, and the other one is Kingsley. Now, people would think I may be using Alistair for Alistair Crowley, but it's actually Alistair Moody, Mad-Eye Moody from Harry Potter, and Kingsley Shacklebolt, also from Harry Potter.
Cute.
All of our pets have names related to geek culture in some way. Some of them, not all of them. We have a bearded dragon named Fuzzy. I just thought it would be funny to name a lizard Fuzzy. that's just a hilarious thing.
Yeah.
And we do have one cat that's a male cat whose name is Sassy, but that's just because he is a pain in the ass. the name fits perfectly. But like our other cat is named Mordred. And it, I don't know if you know who Mordred is as far as geek stuff goes. Or
I believe Mordred tales, or... is not it's Mordred is from the story of King Arthur, right?
Yeah, he's King Arthur's son with his half sister Morgan Le Fay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so that's where, again, all of our pets for the most part have kind of geeky names.
I get it.
And so, you know, it Echo wasn't necessarily quite a geeky name, but it just was kind of the thing everybody agreed on. Nobody would let me name the tortoise Cthulhu. I wanted to. I really did.
That would have been great.
My son said that was too scary a name for a new pet. So.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I guess, yeah, letting it slide. That's understandable. Yeah, I've got a, we do the geeky name thing too with our pets. We've got four snakes. All of them are called Artemis, Ares, Osiris, and Astraea.
So you mixed your mythologies. All right.
We did. We mixed our mythologies. Once we had Artemis and Ares, we were like, well, A names, no, O names. Yeah, that'll work. And we kind of wanted to like, they're essentially gods and goddesses based on, Artemis is a male. So we're all, okay. It was doomed from the start, but, we kind of just,
for those of you who don't know, the reason he pointed out that Artemis the snake is male is because Artemis in Greek mythology is distinctly female.
Yes.
In fact, kind of the embodiment of female.
Right. Exactly. So, I believe my wife named him Artemis. I don't know why, but she always calls him Artie. So it's kind of like, okay, I get it. I think it was just like something that was early on. But then from there we have we have a couple of Cresteds and they're Harley and Ivy. And, and then we name the two dogs that we adopted on our own that were not adopted that, you know,
yeah, they weren't given to you already as
they weren't given already with names. Yeah. Yeah. So the ones that we named those two dogs, Clint Eastwood and Adam West. And then we have the other two dogs that were, that we adopted later in their lives and they're Oso and Bashita. So we don't, those ones, like I always wanted to name a dog, a human name, like a full first and last name. So we've done that a couple of times and probably the next dog that we have, which is going to be a while out because we have four of them running around the house. The next dog we get is definitely going to have a human first and last name. That's just kind of we had
a dog that, if you remember, that was named Caitlin Bree.
Yes. Yes.
After a character wonderful. From a Kevin Smith movie.
Yes.
And sadly, of course, as you remember me telling you, she did pass recently.
Yes, she did.
She was an old girl. But we had also, shortly after we got Caitlin, we had got another dog that when he was given to us, we were told his name was Sam. And that's the only name that they had given him. Mm-hmm. So we decided at that point that he would get it. He would also get a last name because I agree with you. I think dogs should have a last name. And so his name has always been, as far as we're concerned, Samuel Adams. And no, not after the historical American revolutionary figure. Mm-hmm. After the beer. I know the beer is named after the historical Revolutionary War figure. But I'm thinking about the beer when I named it.
Right. So. Right. Exactly.
So at least we kept the same name.
We do have chickens that we've named a ridiculous type of names. I'm not sure if we've gone over that or not on the show, but we just got chickens. We got five,
Nugget,
planning to have three, and Nugget, ended up with fried, all five.
Nugget, fried sandwich, salad, and piccata?
No, but you got one of the names right.
Which one? Sandwich or fried?
Nugget.
You named one Nugget. Okay.
Yeah, we have one. Okay, so the three that we were planning on naming that originally, we were going to name three of them Harpo, Squat, and Benjamin Franklina. And we have those three. And then the other two we got that happened to survive, we're like, well, we have to name them. So they named Nugget and Noodle.
Yeah, okay, I get the noodle part. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, just to let you know,
That was your wife.
Yeah, my wife named Nugget and Noodle, and I did Harpo, Squat, and Benjamin Franklina.
Noodle, I knew was from your wife. I knew that instantaneously.
Yes.
I know her well enough to know that that was definitely her name. Okay, here's one for you.
Okay.
We have a hamster named Juliet. Who named the hamster?
Juliet?
Yes.
Is it a male or a female hamster?
It's a female.
It's a female hamster. It's named Juliet.
Named Juliet, yeah. Who named the hamster?
Would it have been Julius?
No, not my kid. No, it was my wife. Oh. People might think it's me because I'm into Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet.
Ah, okay. Yes. But it was her. Cool.
And then we have a Pac-Man frog named Ichabod.
That is awesome.
Who named the frog?
Would that be you?
Dead air here. No, it wouldn't be me. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because I don't get to name the animals. My wife does. Oh. She even was the one who decided really on Echo for the dang tortoise.
Oh, right. Because you would have named it. Right.
Those were all trick questions, sir.
Ah, I'm sorry.
I think she went with Ichabod, though, because like,
I failed
in the old Disney Tale of Sleepy Hollow, mm-hmm. there's those frogs that are ribbiting Ichabod.
Yeah.
I think that's why she went with it.
We had a Pac-Man frog. We named it Snooky.
The implications of that are yeah. hilarious.
Snooky, unfortunately, passed away earlier this year.
I think the last Pac-Man we had was named Hulk because he was a gigantic thing. He was already fairly old when we got him.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. But
anyway, but yeah, that was my news is that devolved into, of course, a discussion on our various animals that we have.
Yeah.
My news being that I got a new animal, a new pet, my baby Echo. And yes, I will be giving updates on Echo's progression. But at this point, it's eating very well, enjoys getting its food, and is running all over the place. So those are the most important points.
That's great, man.
And he's small enough to like sit on my belly and run around. He's awesome. He's just a little tiny.
The mental image
thing.
Of that is actually very cute.
Yeah, it's funny. But anyway, on to you, sir. What have you been doing this week?
Well, what I've been doing, we have been, okay, as with pretty much most of us, if not all of us right now, a lot of us have had a lot of time to just be home and do things that we've been planning. And over the years, there is some stuff that we've wanted to do. We've been planning to do stuff for like a year or two. So the chickens were like a year or two.
Here's the we. Clarify the we for the people listening, because we are talking right now.
The we is my wife.
That's just not. Yeah, because it's not the you and me is not the we you're talking about.
No, sir. No, sir. No, no. Yeah, the we is my wife and I, and we have been planning to do so much around the house that we've actually been able to accomplish, which you know, I guess, blessing in disguise, right? So, we wanted chickens. We got chickens. We put everything together. We have a coop set up for them and a run and all that kind of stuff. They got a place to live and. They get to live out in there and be nice and cool and all that.
And I'm sending you great recipes.
For the eggs, right, James?
Sure. You can use the eggs in a few of my recipes.
Well, we're not using anything else, so. But we have those. We have a couple of planter boxes that we got built up. So we're growing our own garden and growing our own vegetables. That kind of stuff is pretty cool. But one more thing we were planning on doing
just,
was...
Just remember, mm-hmm. 11 herbs and spices, sir. 11 herbs and spices.
Ugh, damn it.
That's what you got to grow in that garden. Anyway, go on.
Yes. I can't think of that without thinking of KFC's Twitter page, by the way.
Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, I won't.
Don't tell anybody.
Just go
tell
check
people,
it out.
Just tell people.
Go check it
go
out.
Go check
and
out
you'll
KFC's
find out.
Twitter page.
Yep.
It's hilarious. The only better fast food place it has as far as a Twitter page is Wendy's because they're just brutal and beautiful and amazing. But go check out KFC's because it's funny as hell.
It's amazing. Anyway. Okay. So getting back to it, we have been planning on wanting to start recording our own video game playthroughs. for a little while. Like, we wanted to record stuff and set up a couple of microphones. And I don't know if there's any of you guys listening to the podcast that are familiar with, you know, other shows like, you know, The Completionist or Game Grumps or a lot of gaming channels on YouTube where, you know, people put a camera on them and then they react to games while they're playing them. Or Game Grumps is different because they don't have a camera on them. They're just a couple of microphones, and that's all we want to do. But the idea is that we started a YouTube channel, and the idea of the channel is that we are going to play video games, my wife and I, and comment on them. But instead of, you know, doing generalized commentary and doing professional stuff and all this crazy extra acrobatic stuff where people play things like ROM hacks and all that, our purpose is to just play games straight, what are called vanilla playthroughs. But the twist is that we're playing game series in an order of timeline establishment. And it's not necessarily an order of release. So, case in point, here's a good example. The Red Dead Redemption games. I just found this out. Red Dead Redemption 2 takes place before Red Dead Redemption 1. I had no idea about that. RDR 2 takes place in 1899, and RDR 1 takes place in 1911.
Okay, so to put it in perspective for people that are film people.
Yes.
It's like if you were wanting to watch the Indiana Jones movies in proper order of when the things actually happened, mm-hmm. not when the films were released, mm-hmm. then you want to watch Temple of Doom first, then Raiders of the Lost Ark, then Last Crusade, and then don't watch The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull because it's garbage.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Just making sure that I'm understanding this.
Perfect. So
you're going for what would be the universe or storyline chronological order as opposed to order of when the games were produced and released.
Exactly.
Because the idea is to tell the story of the game as well as show the playing of the game.
Yes, exactly. And what's nice about it is we're going to talk about some things like, you know, there's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of lore, especially about a lot of different game series where people get deep into the theories of these games. One of the things that I was looking at a game theory on, like the Mega Man series, which is dude followed the life of the villain, Dr. Wily. I don't know if you're familiar with the Mega Man series at all.
Moderately familiar.
Okay.
I have some familiarity with it, yeah.
Dr. Wily apparently creates a computer virus before he dies. And the computer virus is Wily's consciousness in a computer virus. That computer virus is what creates is the Reploid virus in the Mega Man X series. And there is a series of four games that follow an entire timeline from when the original Mega Man games play all the way through that into the Mega Man X series, in through the Mega Man Zero series, and then ends with the Mega Man Legends series that came out on PlayStation, the 3D ones. And the Mega Man Legends series ends with the last human on Earth dying, where the bad guy from the very first game who wanted to destroy the human race and take over the world with robots actually accomplishes what he takes over like 200 years after he starts and far after he's dead.
I just want to say, this is an exact example of the type of things that you guys are going to be doing.
Yeah.
Explaining these timelines while you're playing the game.
Anybody listening,
this is the kind of thing to look forward to, is getting this kind of deep, detailed information about the game, mm-hmm. while also being able to enjoy watching them either succeed or fail, depending on the type of game that they're playing.
Yeah.
Playing the game and doing it, which is really, it's a neat approach. It's one that I haven't seen yet, although I will admit I'm not deep into the watching videos of people playing video games type thing.
Right.
It's just not my bag.
I get it.
You and your wife are much more experienced at watching those. That's more of one of your forms of entertainment.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
You would know more than I would how much this maybe fulfills a need that isn't quite there represented as much in this world. So, and you have a Facebook page for this. You have a YouTube channel for this.
Yes.
And this stuff just went live. When exactly?
The channel itself just went live with an intro video yesterday. Right now, we are setting ourselves up to make sure that we can actually start playing the games. And we're getting suggestions from people. So it's basically a two-page kind of a deal. My wife is in the middle of setting up what's called a Discord server as well. Discord is... Are you familiar with IRC chat, James, at all? Do you remember that way back in the day?
Yes and no. I remember the smart nerdy people talking about it and me not understanding.
Gotcha. So
keep in mind my level of nerd typically ends where where it's heavily commercialized and doesn't get into the actual niche nerd stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. So quick breakdown, IRC chat, it stands for Internet Relay Chat. It is live chat rooms. Okay. Like AOL. But not the direct messenger. This is the chat room stuff. That's what the old style chat rooms are. So this is in the style of old style chat rooms, but the difference is that it's a dedicated server that you can create for a specific medium, and you can link this server to video pages. So we can link our Discord server to our YouTube page, live stream on our YouTube page, and communicate directly with people in a chat window on our Discord server at the same time. So they can actually feed tips to us while we're playing the games, if we can actually get ourselves set up live. That is a possibility that we're considering right now to get ourselves set up.
Oh, and I mean, they can also make fun of you when you die over and over again because you can't beat a boss.
Oh yeah, that's definitely amazing. Oh, and we're gonna fail so much.
And see, what's beautiful about that is that takes you back to old school gaming when you'd be sitting around with your friends and you would have to fight a boss like 20 times to finally figure out how to beat the boss.
Yep.
And that one friend of yours was constantly just cutting you up the entire time.
Yeah.
That you're doing.
Yep. Yeah, that's what it's about.
You're like, so at some point you hand them the controller like, you try it then. And they die the same way. Like, see, it's not that easy, is it? It's not that easy. Don't give me another Capri Sun, damn it.
That's the exact positive environment that we're looking to uphold.
Hey, I mean, if you're going to go for nostalgia, bring it back all the way.
Right.
Are you going to get some old guy to sit in the corner and smoke cigarettes while you're doing it?
No, we don't. We're not necessarily going to go that far. No.
But that's actually really cool. Cause again, it brings back some nostalgia. You're going to be playing. If you're doing series like that, obviously you're going to do the Legend of Zelda series at some point. I mean, I know that is inside information, but I'm saying it like I don't know it to try to make it more, I don't know, interesting as part of this show. But anyway.
Well, actually, funny enough, James, if you don't mind, we actually just did debut that we are doing the Legend of Zelda series first.
There you go.
We're starting timeline-wise. Technically speaking, the first game is one of the hardest games to play, so it's going to be a lot of fun because you're going to watch me fail and flail around a stupid Wiimote the whole time. The game is The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, which this gameplay is really tough.
That's the one where you actually have to use the Wii remote as your sword to attack, to fight with.
Yes.
Okay.
You have to spin it around in a circle. You have to swing it around. You actually have to use it legitimately. So, it's actually cool.
So wait now.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're going to be videoing you guys do this?
We're not going to be videotaping ourselves doing it, no. So you're not going to see me look like a jackass swinging a Wii remote around the room.
Oh, no,
you're just
going
to watch the gameplay footage.
I am, because I'm going to tell your wife that I want video footage of you doing this. Personally,
you go right on ahead and ask.
Because I'm gonna get that video footage.
All right, so
it's only for my own entertainment. For fairness, I'll send you footage at some point of me playing Wii Sports. Okay, that's
okay.
Fairness.
All right, that's fair.
Although I will say, on Wii Sports, I'm damn good at bowling. I got one of those professional balls.
See, this thing on Amazon that was like a bowling ball attachment for a Wiimote. Like, you hook the Wiimote into the bowling ball, and it sits on the end of the Wiimote. I am not kidding. It looks like the dumbest thing.
I'm just thinking of the fact that you're for sure going to fling that at your TV.
Yeah, right?
I mean,
I was like, why would you do that?
When I have anybody play any of the Wii Sports games, and yes, I still play them because they're still fun. I'm also old, so that's another thing. It's sometimes the only exercise I get. I make it a point to make sure that everybody's – I mean, I don't care if you're over at my house and we're doing – you've been at my house and we've done Wii bowling before.
Oh yeah.
I believe it was either the night of a party where we were drinking or the morning after the party where we were recovering from drinking. We played Wii bowling, and I make sure that everybody's got that lanyard strapped tight to their wrist.
Oh yeah.
There's nobody that's going to be throwing their the damn Wii remote at my TV.
Yeah, exactly.
If you break my TV doing it, you are buying me a new TV.
Oh yeah. There's no 100%. 100% fully agree. Fully agree.
So yeah, I mean that's the but yeah, I'd love to see you playing that one. I'd love to see the actual raw footage of that. But hey, now this is really cool. This is what's nice about this is something that is giving you and your wife some bonding time, something yeah. you guys get to do together, which honestly is, I think, a major issue in many relationships, whether people are married or whether they're just living together, period. People don't have common interests that they can spend time doing together, and they don't, you know, those things aren't found, you know what I mean? Or they yeah. get lost along the way.
Absolutely.
And to have that common interest you're able to do together. Plus it's letting more of your geek flag fly. And that's always a good thing, in my opinion. We're in a time now where the geek culture is so much more accepted than it was when we were kids.
Yeah.
And we can have a little bit more fun with it. Plus you get to educate people, which I'm always on top of. I love the idea of being able to educate people.
Oh yeah.
I know I'm going to watch The Legend of Zelda bits just so I don't have to play the goddamn games.
Dude, the story is fantastic and it gets crazy complicated. I love it so much.
And that's great. I can watch your thing. I can learn the story and then I don't have to play the games because they annoy the shit out of me.
Exactly. That's what it's about.
They really, really do. Especially the one that everybody loves, the Nintendo 64 one. That game is so flippin' annoying. I have started that game and tried to play through that game at least 30 times and I just get so damn bored with that game.
Oh man, then you must have never played the sequel, which is just like, the sequel drives me out. The sequel is, a lot of people love the hell out of it.
Which one is the sequel?
Majora's Mask.
No, I watched one of my wife's sisters played that one and I was just like, nope.
Yeah, the whole 3-day cycle where you got to go back and forth. It gets crazy morbid, though. It gets super, super messed up, but it definitely
is. Yeah, I know there's a lot of weird psychological story involved in it, which is fine. That's one thing. But it's like the gameplay was just, no.
No, I get it. Get it completely. It will tire you out, especially if you try to marathon it. It's insane. Yeah. I couldn't do that. So we're going to be doing these videos in like short bursts between like 20 and 30 minutes long a piece, just long enough to kind of keep up some entertainment and, you know, release them one or two times a week. We're still figuring out exact details on that.
Well, it's awesome that you guys have this, that you guys are starting this. I hope it takes off. I'm going to be watching, of course. And when this goes up, we'll make sure to provide, we can provide links, right?
Yes, we can. Yeah, we can link to, we'll link to the YouTube channel and we'll link to the Facebook group as well. It's a closed group, so you got to ask to be invited in, but feel free to ask.
And well, here's the thing. If you're invited in, keep in mind, people, this is about gaming and about enjoying games and sharing game culture. This is not a place for politics talk. This is not a place for attacking people. This is a place just to enjoy games. And sometimes your favorite game is going to be different than somebody else's favorite game, and you may not like a game and whatnot. Again, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of The Legend of Zelda games, but that doesn't mean I don't support Mike completely in his love for those games. And that's the thing, is it's supposed to be a really nice community. So if you're going to be involved in it, please be proper and appropriate and just share your love of games.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, I'm not sure I even discussed what the name of the channel is.
Go ahead, sir, because I tried to figure out how to say it and I couldn't.
The name of the channel is Chronisode Games. So what it means, it's, you know, chronological episodes. It's what it's about.
I get it. Yep. I get it now. Now that you said it, it clicked in my head. I was reading it and going, what the heck is it supposed to be? I don't know. He'll explain later.
Yep, that's what it is, man. So Chronisode Games.
And if he doesn't know how to... Well, I was going to say, if you didn't know how to explain it to me, I know your wife would be able to.
Oh, yeah.
She's smart.
She's smart. She's very smart.
Yeah, she's smart.
Yeah, like Jeopardy.
She's one of those people that I know that's almost on my level. Almost. She's going to smack the hell out of me.
Oh, she will. Yeah. She'll kick your ass next time she sees you.
But anyway, I think it's a good time for a break.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break here. And when we come back... I'm going to front load this a little because it's only going to be like couple seconds of break anyway. For us, it'll be longer, but for you guys listening, you only get a little tiny break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about something that has to do with nostalgia. Not specifically video games, because we've been down that road before. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about some other media and our experiences with the first of these media that we got. Now, it doesn't mean we purchased them necessarily. It's just the first of these specific media that we got. Now, you may be confused. Don't worry. I'll explain more after the break, all right?
Sounds good, man.
See you in just a moment.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back, everybody.
All right.
So, we're going to get to the actual topic,
yeah.
The actual point that we came together today to talk about. Well,
you mean it wasn't a 30-minute pitch for another YouTube channel?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. I'm a firm believer in if one of the two of us is starting something new or working on a different project, we should use our existing projects to at least talk about it. And it fits within the niche of what we do here on the podcast. We talk about these things that have been so important in our lives and kind of define who we are.
Absolutely.
Video games do. Video games are one of those things that define this generation of people, our generation and the younger generations below us. They're defined by their video games and what systems they like, which games they like to play. I saw that your wife had posted something. In fact, I commented on it. She posted on Facebook asking for people's favorite video game series to find out. And it was interesting to see the various comments of the different series that people like that mean something to them. Mine, by the way, was of course the Halo games.
I suck at Halo. I've never been good at first person shooters. And the thing is with some series, I'm going to have to learn how to play them because there's some good stories.
I would definitely recommend the Halo games. And if we ever are able to, you know, see people again and go to people's houses properly again, I would be more than glad to come over and do some Halo education for y'all.
That'd be great. I'd want to introduce you into that, and you know, maybe we can set up something where, you know, it's the two of us playing, or us with you there, or you're playing while we're absolutely. I think it'd be great.
That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah. But anyway, this kind of leads into this again. This study on nostalgia and on the things that we love. This leads into kind of the idea I had to talk about, and I mentioned it before the break, but I'm going to expound on it.
Okay.
What came to me as a thought is, you know. We both love music. We both love movies. They're the biggest things that we talk about. And I find it interesting to kind of go back and think about what was the first music, movie thing that you received, you got as a gift or you bought for yourself, whichever was the first one that you had, it was yours. That was like your mom or dad's or whatever, but it was yours in each specific type of medium that those things have appeared in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, with music, hell, if you got a record first, I don't know if you got records when you were a kid before you got cassettes or anything else, or if you got an 8-track tape, cassette tape, CD, downloaded music with movies. You know, the first VHS tape that you got, the first DVD that you got, the first Blu-ray that you got. To me, it's kind of interesting that, especially as we get to the later ones where you, and some of our early ones was probably most likely a gift that somebody gave you. But in some of our later ones, it's going to be things that you made the choice to purchase and kind of why you chose that specific CD or that specific DVD or that specific Blu-ray. It's just kind of one of those things that it explains where you were at that point in your life.
Yeah.
And it gives the history to your first foray into these various media that we consider so important to our existence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I want to take it all the way back and start. We'll start on the music side of things. We'll bounce between, but we'll take it all the way back, starting with music. Did you have any records that you owned?
LPs, as a kid? Boy. I think
if you can't think of any off the top of your head, that's also okay.
I think the only one I remember owning flat out as an LP, I believe that was, I'm not even sure if it technically was mine. It's just one that I used to play all the time when I was a kid. I was like 3 or 4 years old.
was the Thriller album by Michael Jackson.
Oh, nice. Please tell me somebody still has that.
That specific one? No, I don't. I don't have it. I believe, I can't remember if it was mine or if it was my aunt's. I was like three or four. And it might have been
probably
theirs. It was
probably family members, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably another family member's. I'm pretty sure she doesn't have it. I actually got a huge collection of a bunch of old cassette tapes from her. She just moved out of state. And when she was moving, she had this huge, like, she Facebooked. She's like, well, bunch of cassette tapes, probably about, you know, 200 or 300 cassette tapes, and they're just going in the trash, getting to the dump. And I'm like, hell no, they're not. So I called her, and I ran out there. I'm like, hell no, I'm getting everything. And there's, dude, bunch of stuff. Like, there's bootleg stuff of my my dad's country band when he was on the radio, nice. And live performances and stuff. I knew a bunch of that stuff was in there. But then there was other stuff too, other friends' bands, because she's half Mexican, and so she had a bunch of Mexican music, and then she had a bunch of other pop music, like a bunch of stuff. Like, dude, we're talking like freaking Olivia Newton-John and Gloria Estefan and like all this crazy stuff. But it's good stuff.
I think I remember seeing the boxes. I think I saw the boxes.
Yeah, we took
them.
We separated them. Yeah, we took them. We separated them. I had them laid out on the living room floor, and we alphabetized them and separated them by genre and all that kind of stuff. Threw them in some boxes. It's a lot of tapes. It's great stuff.
Okay, so you're again.
That's
you're not
the LP,
sure about the,
right?
Yeah, you're not
the
sure
LP.
About the
I'm not sure if I owned it, but I remember spinning it all the time.
How about an 8-track tape? Did you ever have an 8-track tape that was your 8-track tape?
Never had an 8-track tape. Didn't even have an 8-track player. I personally don't remember ever seeing an 8-track player until my dad got a hold of me because he wanted to digitize a bunch of shows that his uncle had done this, like, almost like a radio show type thing that he was doing, where he had a cheap microphone and an 8-track recorder. That would do 8-track duplicate recording. So he, as a wedding gift for my dad's mother, my dad's mother and her husband, he made like a radio type show where he would, you know, yak between songs, and then he would play a song on the tape. And so it was like 2 or 3 hours worth of this stuff. And
wow.
And the uncle passed away some years ago. His mother passed away 20 years ago, something like that. It's been a while. She passed. But it was a bunch of 8-track tapes. They're like 2 or 3 hours worth of music. And he bought a cheap 8-track player. And I'm like, and he hit me up. He's like, can you digitize these for me? I'm like, hell yeah. And I learned how 8-track works, and it was fascinating to me. But I did a bunch of digital backup of 8-track tapes. It's great. I've got a bunch of them. It's awesome.
I'm gonna have to hit you up then. Snag my dad's 8-track collection and hit you up to see if you can digitize some of the stuff, because
yes,
a bunch of different songs on there. My parents had an 8-track collection. We even had 8-track players in the car.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much. And we had them in the home as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had I had an 8-track tape that was my first and only 8-track tape. It was actually Chipmunk's Christmas music.
Oh man,
yeah,
that's
it was
great.
The Chipmunk's Christmas album. Yeah, I did have that at one point in life. The tale of that album is sad, and I'll tell it to you personally one day. It's not one I necessarily want to share with the public, but it was a sad tale.
Okay.
But I did have it at one point.
All right.
Moving on to cassettes, then that would be the next thing. What do you remember the first cassette that you had? And I'm not talking about something that somebody recorded some stuff together, but the first actual
professionally purchased cassette
that you had.
I remember the first cassette I remember personally owning was, there were two of them that were gifted to me for my birthday.
Nice.
When I was like 13. They were a birthday gift from a friend of mine when I was about 13 years old. The Stone Temple Pilots albums Core and Purple. I did not own any cassettes before those tapes. I had tapes that I played that were my parents', but I never owned any on my own.
Oh, wow.
Until those. And then I went and started buying music when I had the opportunity with allowance money.
I will say this, sir. I will say this. Birthdays are a magical time. I'm glad you were able to get those two tapes for your birthday. Magical time.
Oh, yeah. Great. Great tapes. I fell in love with Stone Temple Pilots with those tapes.
Magical time.
Yeah.
Anyway. Those are good ones, man. There are many people who probably say that they're better than mine, but I would disagree with them and tell them they're idiots. Because while Stone Temple Pilots are amazing, I think it was about, I'm going to say I was about 9 or 10 when I got my first cassette, which coincided with me getting my first handheld / wearable cassette player. I will not call it a Walkman because it was not, an actual Walkman.
And it was a portable cassette deck.
Yes, portable cassette deck. Thank you. Just so children understand, back in the day when you had a Sony Walkman, you were like the cool kid. You were the coolest kid, and your parents probably had some money. Everything else was not a Walkman.
Dude, those things were like $80 when they came out. They were crazy expensive.
And the people that actually had the Sony Walkmans would totally look down on anybody else's portable cassette player. Yep. especially if the one that was bought for you was bright yellow with a rubberized seal thing inside, so that it was supposedly quote unquote waterproof, but it was this gigantic bright yellow thing.
Oh yeah.
And they all ran on AA batteries, so you had to make sure you had a pretty good stock of AA batteries, because there was nothing worse than your cassette player stopped working because you didn't have enough AA batteries to keep it going, or when the batteries started to die and the songs just start slowing down.
You know what? I actually learned some stuff about when I went to audio engineering school about Sony Walkmans or portable cassette decks and hearing loss and how they're related. Get this. So, and this is like not the way I'd expected it to go. I'm going to try to be as quick as I can. So basically what happens is, while the batteries are wearing out, obviously the tape slows down and the volume goes down. So you notice that you'll be turning up your headphones a lot more when the batteries are about to die. What's happening is, one of the things that happens before the tape starts to slow down is that the amplifier that's actually moving the speakers in your headphones, it's overdriving itself. So the tape starts to sound distorted. Do you ever remember hearing that?
Yeah.
Okay. What's happening is the amplifier is not getting enough juice and it's being underpowered. So it's overdriving the signal to reach proper volume for you. Well, when you're listening to it and that distorted music is there, there's audio spikes that are happening past where that audio is leaving. It's called clipping. It happens a lot. And it sounds really ugly in digital audio, and sometimes it's used in analog audio as a kind of cool, sweet distortion sound. But the problem is that if you listen to that on an extended period of time, even at median to low volume, and people are cranking their headphones, that clipping is shooting spikes into your eardrum without you even knowing it. And it's actually causing hearing damage at medium volume.
Interesting.
Yeah, so a lot of people that had tape decks for the longest time started to suffer from major hearing loss because of that habit.
For any of you that still have tape decks, get something better.
Keep your batteries fresh.
If you're still going to use it, keep your batteries fresh. Wow.
Yeah, so anyways, old amplifiers, batteries, and stuff like that, you know, for special effects, that's one thing. But if you're trying to listen to music constantly and it's just a bad tone, what's happening is your amplifier is starting to die. And if you're listening to it with headphones, it can damage your hearing.
Wow. Good to know.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is actually a Christmas one year that I got this portable cassette player, and I got my first cassette with it, of course, because it's kind of useless without having a cassette.
Right.
And that cassette, my friend, was Electric Youth by Debbie Gibson.
Wow.
Yep. I was a huge Debbie Gibson fan. First of all, she was hot.
She was hot.
And here's the thing to understand. She was 16 years old when she released that album. Yeah. She wrote every single song on that album, all the lyrics, all the music.
Oh.
At 16 years old.
Oh, really?
Everything written by her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That in itself is crazy. Like,
and I think she was the youngest person ever to have like a number one record that she wrote, just like that she sung on or something, but that she actually wrote.
Okay,
the songwriter for.
I just looked up Debbie Gibson like right now.
Yeah.
Dude, she's still hella hot.
Oh yeah. She also did a spread in Playboy at one point or another.
Oh, that's cool.
It was very good. Oh yeah, it was very nice. But yeah, she's still hot.
Yeah, she's 49. She's still hella hot too. That's awesome.
Back then, I had like the biggest crush on her, and to get her cassette, everybody thought I was a little bit weird. I didn't care. I loved it. I played the crap out of that cassette. Still to this day, if I hear anything off that cassette, it's been years since I've heard the full album, but if anything's playing off it, I'm singing along. I know about 70% of the words still.
That's killer.
It was good. It was good, infectious pop music, exactly what it was supposed to be. But unlike some of the other pop stars of that time, like Tiffany, and even pop stars that came later, like Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, which is in the same kind of girl pop vein, she wrote all the songs on that album. That's respect
That's respect for sure. That's mad respect. That's fantastic.
She ain't singing other people's songs. She's singing her own songs.
Yep.
And that's just like, and she was 16. That's amazing.
I'm impressed by the capability of being able to write songs like that, producer or not. Like, obviously, a producer helps you out with quite a bit, sometimes to the point where they help you write the entire song. But I will tell you this, like, the capability to write a verse and a hook and a melody at as young as that is crazy impressive.
Well, and I'm
sure
you're doing
90% of the work.
I'm sure you're not overly familiar with the stuff off of that album, but I would even say go and listen to a few songs off that album. Just listen to some of the verse and some of the chorus, some of the hook.
Yeah,
and listen to the fact that it's teenage bubblegum pop. That's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Right,
and the thing is it's hooky and infectious. Listen to it and think to yourself, damn. She did this at 16 years old. That's some shit right there.
Absolutely.
Again, it's cheesy music, but at the same time, teens and preteens ate it up. I know I did.
That's fantastic, man.
And still proud of this day to say that I love Debbie Gibson then. I still love her music now. I haven't had the opportunity to listen to it because I don't own the albums anymore, mm-hmm. but I would. If I had the albums, I would listen to them.
Totally, man.
Absolutely. Probably explains my love for my love of the Spice Girls so much.
That makes sense.
Although there was, admittedly, I was a teenager, late teens during that time period, and so there was also a different element when it came to the Spice Girls. we'll not talk about that. Hint: it was sexual. But anyway,
hint. He says hint.
Yeah, like a hint's really needed.
Yeah.
Which one would you choose, James? All of them. But anyway, moving on. Next thing that would probably be the next media that we would have gotten would have probably been a VHS tape. Mm-hmm. Although you may have gotten a VHS tape before you got a cassette. I didn't. I will say this. There were VHS tapes that were family-owned VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. There was my dad who was definitely one of those that figured out how to use a VCR pretty darn well. Which at first it was surprising to me that my dad could use a VCR. Well, he was for his job when I was growing up, he was a grocery clerk for the now defunct, Lucky's supermarkets.
Yeah.
In my mind, that's all he did was he was a grocery clerk. It wasn't until years later that I found out about his experiences in high school and college. And he actually took, I want you to think about this for a second. He took computer programming in high school.
Oh, I knew a kid.
He graduated from high school in the 60s.
Oh my God. Okay, that's different.
So the type of computer programming he was learning in high school was like punch card computer programming.
Yeah.
So like he had
what facility also, would they have in a high school in the 60s to teach computer programming?
I don't know.
You would have to have like a gym to hold the damn thing in there.
He was learning some of it.
That's amazing.
That is kind of amazing. Admittedly, it may have been in college because he did get an associate's degree in college. So I may be wrong, and it may have been college that he did it instead of high school. I'm not sure which one. I believe it was high school because I think he studied something else when he was in college. I think he did business, but I'm not 100%. Anyway, damn. Point being,
that's amazing, being, dude.
I didn't find that out till I was a teenager and stuff and learning more things about my dad because as a little kid I didn't care. But he did know how to use the VCR that we had, and he was pretty good about being able to record things on the VCR.
Oh yeah.
And we would have, you know, we'd have tapes that, like, I remember one tape had the first half of the tape was a Clint Eastwood movie, Pale Rider. And like the last 2 minutes of the movie got cut off because they he recorded Return of the Jedi when it came on TV. And so I would fast forward until like the last bit of Pale Rider, because I didn't want to watch Pale Rider. And then when Pale Rider was over, Return of the Jedi would start. And that's how I used to watch Return of the Jedi as a kid.
That's amazing.
Because we didn't own an actual copy of Return of the Jedi. It was when my dad dubbed off the TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we had tons of those, you know, tons of different, especially Westerns. Whenever my dad saw a Western on TV, he was recording a Western, because he's a huge aficionado for Western movies.
Totally, man.
I remember, in fact, wanting to update him with, like, in his John Wayne collection, and buy him new John Wayne DVDs. And he was like, why? I have them on cassette or on VHS. I'm like, Dad, the ones you have on VHS are ones that you have like Rio Bravo and She Wore a Yellow Ribbon on the same VHS tape. You could get it on, you can get these DVDs, and then you don't have to fast forward to Rio Bravo to get to She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. He goes, no, I can sit and watch Rio Bravo and then watch She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. Okay.
Talk about a missed point, right?
All right, then. All right. As far as the first VHS that you remember getting that wasn't, or actually it's me, I'm saying mine. First one that I remember getting that was kind of my VHS, that was my thing.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park, which was really, really weird. I got it as a Christmas present. And it was bought for me because the family member that bought it for me thought, okay, it's a big Steven Spielberg movie. There's, you know, computer effects in it and whatnot. So we know that James likes those type of movies, you know, big effects movies.
Okay.
So we'll get him this Jurassic Park. Well, like, Jurassic Park was almost a little on the scary side for me at that point in my life. Cause there was a couple of jump scares, and at that point I wasn't necessarily a jump scare person.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I get you.
Moreover, I hadn't had really, and also as a kid, I will mention, as like a younger kid, I was like super, super into dinosaurs. Like, I'm the guy that like watches a movie about dinosaurs, and they call a dinosaur a brontosaurus, and I'm like, brontosauruses aren't real. There was never a brontosaurus. Brontosaurus was made up by one guy who found a set of bones of an apatosaurus, but the bones he found were a different age than what the standard apatosaurus was known to be. So he tried to say it was a completely different dinosaur, because then he would be credited with finding a different dinosaur and get more money and whatnot. But it was just an apatosaurus.
Skeleton. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So brontosaurus was never a thing. They were both apatosaurus.
Dude, that is like a huge like pop culture lie, man.
And like, then huge. Even when I'm watching that. Even when I'm watching Jurassic Park, I'm like, that's not a velociraptor. Now, luckily, they found out around the time that Jurassic Park was released, they found in here in America, they found the Utah raptor, which was larger than what a velociraptor is. Velociraptors were only like 2.5 feet tall. Utah raptors were about 4.5 feet tall, but none of them were the size of the velociraptors that you see in the
Jurassic Park movies. Aren't they like, those things are huge.
Which, funny enough, in Jurassic World,
they can stand as tall as like a 6 foot. Yeah, they're 6 feet tall.
They're pretty big. But funny enough, in Jurassic World, they actually have an explanation for this. There's a scene where the doctor from Dr. Park, I think, is the guy from the original Jurassic Park. They haven't come back for Jurassic World. When he's talking about the genetic engineering that they did with the dinosaurs, he flat out states, because in Jurassic World, they genetically combine multiple creatures to make this like super dinosaur. I can't even think of its name right now.
The ability to explain scientifically impossible dinosaurs.
Well, what the doctor explains is when I was asked to do all of this, I wasn't asked to make them exactly like they were. I was asked to make them attractions for people. So every one of them we've done modification for. They looked exactly like they were. Yeah, they say it in Jurassic World.
Explain the reason why they're scientifically inaccurate?
Yes, which is awesome, I think.
Okay, no,
it's a retcon, but it's awesome.
Totally, it's totally a retcon to science, but that makes sense. So they're like, now, but think about it, that's like completely different from everything else. That explains the reason why
we'll go down to Jurassic Park wormhole.
Yeah, for sure. Oh God, that's great.
Funny enough, it's quite interesting that those movies, the Jurassic Park movies, are actually movies that my oldest son is, because he's such a fan of the kaiju movies, giant monster movies.
Yeah.
The Jurassic Park movies fall right into that category, and he is a huge fan of all the Jurassic Park movies, the entire series of movies. I've watched them more times than I want to count. We've played the Lego Jurassic Park video games more times than I want to count, and so it was almost like it was a prophetic thing that somehow or another Jurassic Park would be in my life. But when I got it at first, I was just like, this isn't a movie I'm really that interested in. I like dinosaurs as a kid, as like a little kid. But like, I also wanted to be an astronaut as a little kid. And I realized I ain't going to do that because I get motion sickness. There's no way in hell I'm getting in a space shuttle and pulling all them G's. I'm going to throw up everywhere. It's not going to happen. I'll be the idiot who opens the door into space. Point being, it was really interesting to get that. And at the time, I didn't really appreciate the fact that it would mean something to me later, because of course I didn't know. Now looking back, it's like, well, it was good that I got my start early on that, because I mean, admittedly, my kid likes Star Wars too, and he likes Marvel movies and all of that. But if he's going to choose between Star Wars, Marvel, or Jurassic Park, we're watching Jurassic Park.
And that's killer. How it is.
So, how about you? What can you remember as your first cassette or VHS tape that you got?
Well, I used to be over at my grandma's a lot when I was a kid, and the first VHS I legitimately remember having, knowing that I owned it and it was mine and it was there and it was mine and I was the only one that watched it, was the VHS cassette for the first three opening episodes of the 1987 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon series.
That is so not surprising that it would be something TMNT.
Hell no! It was a toss up between that one and a Looney Tunes compilation I used to watch all the time, but I used to have them both. But the one that I remember that I played until it died was the first. That was the first season. I think it was only like three episodes long. But those first three episodes, dude. Still to this day, they're the best episodes, and I've been trying to find a DVD copy of those, and I have other seasons on DVD, but I don't have those first three episodes, and I'm kicking myself because I'm trying to find
them. See, I'm trying to think if I ever played a VHS tape so much. I did play a bunch of cassette tapes that broke because I played them so much, but I'm trying to think if I ever played a VHS tape so much that it broke. Technically, I think I did, although there is speculation as to whether it broke because of how many times I played it, or because it was sabotaged by members of my family because of their hatred of me playing. There was one specific summer.
Oh, damn.
There was one specific summer where my father, using his amazing skills with the VCR, had caught one of my favorite movies and had recorded it on one of his VHS tapes for me. And one summer when my brothers were visiting for the summer, reportedly, I don't entirely remember this, only because it was probably just normal for me to do this, but their memories are apparently really good about this. I watched this movie at least once every single day when they were there for the summer. By the end of the summer, the tape no longer worked. Now, again, I don't know if it's because I watched it so much or if because somebody may have done something to it so they didn't have to watch it again. That movie, surprisingly, it's not a Star Wars movie, as many people would think. The movie was actually Goonies.
Oh, my. What? Your parents sabotaged Goonies, man?
I don't think it was my parents. I don't think my parents sabotaged it. No.
Who sabotaged it?
No, 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 no. I figure it was probably one of my two brothers.
What a dick move.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a dick move for me to watch it every single day. And apparently, not only did I watch it every day, because keep in mind, this is back in the day when there was only one TV in the house and there was really no other forms of media. And the TV was in the living room with the VCR. And not only apparently did I watch it, but I tried to force them to sit and watch it with me. So I can't say that it was entirely a dick move by them.
Oh, whatever.
Partially, like, but not entirely.
That's just kind of part of what happens when you're a younger sibling, man. Like, really think about it. Like, that's the thing. Like, when I was older, my sister was growing up. Like, yeah, it was Rugrats and Blue's Clues all damn day long.
During now, the middle my sister, of the day. My sister watched one of my sisters watched, there was All Dogs Go to Heaven. Still to this day, I can sing every single song from All Dogs Go to Heaven.
That is one of the saddest friggin' children's movies, too.
Maybe we'll do a podcast on Don Bluth at some point and what happened with his career. He's the guy who made All Dogs Go to Heaven. He used to work for Disney, made Disney's worst animated movie ever, even worse than Song of the South, believe it or not, and got fired from Disney and then created his own studio and made really, really, really dark and scary animated movies for people. And then made a really bad one and this studio fell apart. We'll have a discussion about that at some point, especially because I have seen all those movies more times than I want to. But All Dogs Go to Heaven was one that I had to watch over and over again. And I'll watch that movie and I can recite every line from it. I can sing all the songs from it. It's scary. And then my sister watched one that was, it was an Australian movie, and it was about this girl named Dot. And the only thing that I remember of the movie is at some point or another, she shrinks down and goes inside an ant colony. And it's horrific because, like, the ants are singing and dancing, and the queen ant is singing and dancing and shaking her gigantic abdomen back and forth doing this dancing thing. And it's, like, horrific and yet so funny at the same time.
What the hell are you talking about?
I know. No, it's an Australian film. I'll get you the details for it after the podcast. But it's this weird. And when they're in the when she's in the ant colony, she's animated and the ants are all animated. And when she's out of the ant colony, she's like, it's like live action. It's the weirdest movie, and the production value is really kind of out there because, again, Australian film.
Right.
But I mean, wow, it was like an acid trip of a movie.
I'm partially interested. I am somewhat interested in seeing what this is.
That was another one, by the way, that my father caught on TV one day. That one that's one of those that has the commercials in it. So he caught it on a channel that had commercials. So as you're watching when we used to watch the VHS, there was all the, you know, the commercials that were recorded at the same time. So yeah, that's a fun one. But anyway, again, you having TMNT, not surprising. And you even, playing it until it broke, also not surprising.
Oh yeah.
So that would move next up on the list. We'll go next in the music category. After cassettes, of course, came our CDs. Now, can you remember the first CD that you had that was your CD?
I didn't really get into buying CDs until I was in probably high school. And that's when I started getting my own budget and buying some stuff. Eventually what happened with those Stone Temple Pilots tapes, those cassette tapes, they got lost. And I ended up buying those on CD.
Was those the first ones that you got?
Technically I would say yes, but I'm not going to count them because I had another album that I played and spun all the damn time. It was the first Metallica album that I purchased on CD.
Was it Black or Load?
No, it was Master of Puppets.
Oh, you got Puppets first. Nice.
Yeah, I got Puppets first. And then I fell in love with everything else. I mean, I already loved, like, the thing about Metallica was, like, I bought Black Album as a recommendation at the FYE that I went and bought it from. But Load and Reload, I had already known those albums were good. And I told him, I was like, well, I like these albums and I can get my hands on them. I can borrow them from friends. Which one do you recommend? And they just walked over without saying a word to me, pulled Master of Puppets out the shelf. And they're just like, you need to listen to this one. Don't listen to any of the other ones until you listen to this one. And I was like, oh, okay.
They weren't wrong.
No, they weren't. Home. They were not. That was still, yeah. Still to this day, I highly commend that employee whose name I forget.
So here's another curveball that shows that my taste in music has definitely been eclectic, and I've gone through various waves of musical love. I might break you with this one.
Oh, I'm ready.
I might actually break you.
I'm ready.
The first CD that was my CD that I owned was Garth Brooks' The Hits.
That is not something I expected. Okay. You need to explain yourself, sir.
I had just moved from living in the East Bay area.
Okay.
Up to where I'm currently living, which is much more of a rural setting. In fact, I'm not even where I'm currently living, but the small foothill community about an hour away from where I'm currently living, where I spent my teen years.
Okay.
So it was basically up into the country. Okay. And everybody that I went to school with, well, I wouldn't say everybody, but a large portion of the people I went to school with were big into country music. It was a thing. There was either the country music guys or the metalheads. There really wasn't a balance, especially my first year there. There wasn't much of a balance between people. And so I started getting into when I looked at the population of the kids, the metalheads were kind of the kind of jerky kids at the school at that time. And the country kids were not as jerky a little bit, but at least they were a little more welcoming and open and whatnot. So I kind
all right,
of
all right. I can, was I like, can, all right, I can understand
let's see
that.
If I can, let's see if I can get in with this crowd and do some stuff. So I got the last cassette. I remember the last cassette that I bought, cause I was transitioning into CDs, was a single. It was a cassette single. And it was the cassette single for Joe Diffie, rest in peace, Pickup Man, and I think the B side of it was Third Rock from the Sun.
Third Rock from the Sun and was the B side? You sure Pickup Man wasn't the B side?
It may have been Third Rock from the Sun as the main one, and Pickup Man as the B side. Whatever. That was the single that I got. And
by the way, I still have that album, yes. And it has your name on it, sir. Like, it's yours.
Thank you.
Yes.
And so the country kids were delighted that I had it, and the bus that we rode to school had a cassette deck in it, and so the country kids were the nice ones, but they were also the more dominant ones, which is another reason why I was kind of trying to get in friendly with them.
Gotcha.
And they demanded that this cassette be played backwards and forwards, just keep playing it on a loop, these two songs.
Yeah.
Over and over for about a month while we were riding on the bus. Well, it made the metalhead kids kind of mad at me because they knew it was my cassette, but all the country kids really liked me at that point.
Yeah.
So I got the Garth Brooks album, which, by the way, I am still a fan of much of Garth Brooks' music. His newer, more modern stuff, not really as much as his older stuff, but I do like his music. He kind of, in some of his songs, he does bridge a little bit of the gap of country and rock. But he's still a country artist. If I'm going to listen to a country artist, he's about the only one I feel entirely comfortable listening to, just because he is the only one that I really bought an album for.
Well, that makes sense.
The Joe Diffie thing was only a single, but I still liked Joe Diffie. He's got the right twang for, if you're going to listen to country music, listen to it twangy. Don't listen to the modern bro country crap. I'm talking about like Luke Bryan and Florida Georgia Line. Make me want to vomit. Anyway. Anyway, moving
that's,
on.
That's about where my attitude is. My preference for country stops at about the 90s. Artists, you know, and even some of the 90s artists, I'm like, nah, that's cool. Like,
yeah.
If I'm going to listen to country, give me some of the outlaw stuff. That's personal favorite.
Or go back even further. I used to like listening to, my mother used to listen to Conway Twitty, and I love listening to Conway Twitty. Beautiful voice. But anyway, I went full bore. I bought a Western shirt. I bought a cowboy hat. I bought boots. Never wore any of them.
I was going to say, I have a mental image of you and all of those things, and that is so unfitting. That it's not even funny.
It was not right. And I for the most part, I eventually grew out of the phase of it. But again, I'll listen to some Garth Brooks. I don't have a problem. There are a few songs of his that I really, really do like. Country music on a whole, it just depends on the artist. But on a whole, no, I'm not a fan of country music.
I can get it.
But yeah, that was my first CD. It was more of an attempt to try to find my identity and conform. I mean, I was 14. So I was still trying to figure out who I was going to be. And then, of course, right after that is when I started, when I bought the next most important album that truly kind of set the focus for me, and that would have been Pearl Jam's 10. And, yeah, everything changed after that. The whole world was different.
Oh, nice.
Which is why I love that album so much. But anyway, so moving on, we'll move on to the next kind of TV movie category, not TV, but movie category.
Okay.
What was the first, do you remember the first DVD that you bought? Because, I mean, I had cassettes up the ass. You remember the cassette, VHS tapes. You remember my VHS tapes.
Oh,
tape
yeah. Collection. You still have a huge VHS. You still have, like, all of those, don't you?
The VHS are all boxed up in storage because I don't necessarily have a working VHS player to be able to play them regularly. But I had boxes and boxes of them because working at Blockbuster, we were able to get some pretty good deals on tapes, and oh my god, I scored so many of them.
Oh yeah, that was one of the major benefits of working that franchise. Absolutely, 100%. First off, sir, before we move on with this with this little thing, when all of this opens back up, the first thing you need to do is get yourself $15 and go buy a damn VCR over at a Goodwill. Just do that.
Actually, no, see, I do have one. It's just not where I can get to it right now. Oh. I just need to go get to it.
Oh, okay.
But also, the VHS tapes are all packed away, and most of them have been replicated in DVD anyway. So oh, I really don't necessarily need to go get my VHS tapes back out anytime soon.
Oh, okay.
And I have a crap ton of Disney movies in the clamshell cases that I am purposely storing away so that nothing happens to them.
Yes.
But anyway, so your first DVD, do you remember what that was?
Oh man, let me think about this for a minute.
I gave you like 2 days to think about this, man.
I know, but this is like, man. I've been having trouble trying to remember what the first DVD was. I own a ton of them now. I honestly can't think of the first one.
Which is, that's not a bad thing that you can't think of it.
I know the first Blu-ray actually, I've owned, but I don't know the first DVD.
Well, we'll get to Blu-ray in a moment.
Yeah.
And see, that's the funny part, because the reason I remember what my first DVD it was because it was a movie that came out and only came out on DVD. It was the first movie that was released as just a DVD. I wouldn't say the first one. It was the first one I wanted to get that was only released as a DVD, was really? Not released on VHS.
Really? What's that?
And it's funny because like people would think, again, that maybe it's a Star Wars movie. But I actually have a copy of Episode 1 on VHS.
Oh yeah, of course they no. Box, are you kidding me? Yeah, no. Lucasfilm would not make the mistake of creating a medium, creating movies on a medium that you can't sell. Well, you know, not until it was way past that time.
Well, here's something interesting about that. You mentioned Lucasfilm with that. What did I say was the first VHS I got? Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah.
Who directed Jurassic Park?
Spielberg.
This is important because this movie, when it came out on DVD, and again, did not come out on VHS, it actually prompted me to go buy my first DVD player because I wanted to own this movie so badly.
And it was a DVD exclusive.
I went and
exclusive.
Bought a DVD player to just so I could go and buy this movie.
Huh.
And this movie was Minority Report.
Really?
Really. First DVD I bought because it was the only way I could get the movie was to buy it on DVD. It's also, again, when I bought my first DVD player. And who directed Minority Report?
I believe that was Spielberg.
Yes, it was.
Yep.
So I guess Spielberg is kind of bookending my stuff here.
Yeah. What's going on with that?
That's the thing is the only reason I remember which DVD I bought, especially because I have, I mean, I have a huge DVD collection. I have a massive DVD collection. It's insane how many DVDs I have. For me to remember my first one, the only reason I can, I'm kind of glad you don't remember, because it makes it so my story has a little more poignancy. I only remember because it was the day I had to go buy a DVD player so I could get this movie that I wanted to see. And so it was just, you know, really one of those really weird stories of like, nope, this is the time to buy it. You know what I mean? This is the time I finally need to upgrade. And then everything was DVDs after that. But yeah, kind of interesting. So then we'll go to the next item, which would have happened around maybe around the same time as the DVDs, maybe not. And it would be the first, this is kind of a weird one, the first song or album, because I'll go with the song as well, that you downloaded on a computer. You didn't buy it, you downloaded the song.
Oh my goodness.
Or in somebody else, in my case, for instance, I had it downloaded for me because I was too stupid to know how to download and burn it onto a CD.
Oh man.
Do you have any remembrance of what yours might have been?
I believe I do, because yes. I believe the first song I downloaded, and obviously we can all pretty much confess to having done this at one point because we all participated in it. The first song I believe I downloaded was Man in the Box by Alice in Chains, and I did it on, I think it was Kazaa. Like, I avoided Napster. I went past Napster. I never really wanted it. Okay. But Kazaa was the next one after Napster was called out and everybody started to move to Kazaa. So I got that.
I've never even heard of Kazaa, because again, somebody else always did that kind of stuff for me. Like, you know, I didn't know how to do any of it. So like,
oh yeah, downloading was Napster, and then Kazaa, and then LimeWire, and then basically torrenting or Pirate Bay, which is what.
LimeWire, my wife did a whole bunch of LimeWire CDs. So many.
Dude, LimeWire apparently had been around for a long ass time. I just had a conversation about LimeWire downloading, like, I want to say it was like 4 or 5 days ago, about people using LimeWire in like 2012. And I'm like, are you kidding me? LimeWire was still around in 2012? I had no clue. Apparently LimeWire had been going on till like 2014.
That might be an interesting topic if somebody was doing a video series on like music recording and stuff, and the availability of different internet outlets to
about the relation
downloaded.
Possibly the relation between MP3s and cassette tape duplication. Yeah,
that might be a good thing. So, if you know anybody that does a video series like that, you should probably recommend that to them.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I might do that.
Tell them I said it was a good idea. Anyway,
I will.
So, Man in the Box. Man in the Box was yours.
Man in the Box, okay. And Man in the Box, and then I believe it was my stepdad who had learned about the fact that we could do this kind of stuff. And he's like, ooh, can you find, I think the next one was, he was a fan of a few songs that were on like all over 98 Rock. And so he would ask me to find songs for him. And so the first one was like Man of the Box. And then I had to look up the lyrics to, I remember he played it live, or he played it as soon as it came on the radio. He was like, I want that song. He's all, I know it's by Tool. And I found out eventually it was 46 and 2. Was the one he wanted.
Yeah.
And so,
because it's, I mean,
it's significant, like beginning, like you can tell it's like the only one that's still in 4/4 for the most part, all the way through.
Until it hits the bridge. For anybody that's not a Tool fan, to listen to their songs and attempt to discern what the name of the song is can sometimes be a little bit difficult. There are some that are pretty, I mean, a song like Sober, it's pretty obvious that Sober could be the title of the song.
Right.
46 and 2, not so much.
Right. And I remember he wanted me to download that.
song number one, is it? I believe that's what it was called, Song Number One. At least on MTV, it was called Song Number One. that one is a little difficult to understand what the actual title would be. You might think it's Finger Deep or Borderline, fine, but it's not. It's not. It has a different name. You know about that, right?
Yes.
On MTV, they had to call it song number one. They weren't allowed to use the actual name of the song.
That's great.
Because of the connotation.
Of course.
And then there's the song about how do I describe it properly? Well, it's a song that makes you think that it's about prison sex, and quite frankly, that's what it's called. So, I mean, there are some that work and some that are confusing. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that would be 46 and 2 would be a fun one to try to figure out before, with the early years of the internet and you know, trying to piece together what the heck is this song talking about?
Yeah, that's what I loved. So I had to take so long, and this was like, you know, 1998. So I'm like, what?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Like, what information was available on the internet to tell you that the song was called that? There was practically nothing. And there wasn't a place that you could go to just stream the songs. There wasn't a place you could, you had to like find somebody in a forum with the lyrics and hope to God that you could understand the lyrics, because Tool's lyrics, the vocals are very strangely undermixed. Like, especially when they're on the radio, the vocals sit behind all of the other instrumentation, so you can't really hear. Yeah, I know. He likes to accentuate the band. He won't even face the crowd. Like, and we should talk about that band in an episode as well, because...
Yes, we need a Tool episode.
Yes, we definitely need a Tool episode.
I can see you're already about to spiral, and you're stopping yourself.
Yeah, I'm stopping myself. I don't want to... Yeah. But I remembered, like, that was the second song. After he discovered that I could download songs, he was just like, can you get this one? Can you get this one? Can you burn me a CD? Can you do this? And then things just kept going. And then I showed them how to do it themselves, and they flew off with it and got whatever the hell they wanted to. It went from finding all the songs on 98 Rock to, like, you know, Al Stewart and Paula Abdul.
All right.
And all this shit. Yeah.
Two steps forward, two steps back. Anyway, that's a Paula Abdul reference.
Kid. It is. I understand exactly.
Watch the video; you'll love it. Anyway, I was in the same boat as your. You said that was your uncle, right?
It was my dad, my stepdad.
Your dad? Yeah. Your stepdad? Okay, I was in that same boat in that I didn't know how to do it, so I asked somebody to do it for me.
Oh right, I got you.
And I will admit, I was part of the problem.
Don't worry. Were you part of the problem?
I was part of the problem.
Did you get your buddy put on the list?
Well, I don't know. He's the guy who set up our website. So
you're gonna have to find out whether or not he got some paperwork sent to him, man.
Our web guy. my old buddy Rob. He hooked me up. When it was leaked and broke, he hooked me up with a copy of Metallica's I Disappear. And that was the first downloaded song that I was ever given.
Oh, so you were part of the catalyst.
Yeah.
You know that's the song that started the lawsuit, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. I know. That's why I said I was part of the problem.
I would love to do a feature episode on that, and I would love to do a video on that as well. I've done a couple of things recently that's one of the ones I want to tackle.
Yeah, that's we talked about it a little
great
bit.
Great subject.
In one of our previous podcasts, but yeah, when we talked about some copyright stuff, I believe we had a little discussion about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was part of the problem. I was part of the problem. So finally, we're at our last piece of kind of technology, because now everybody's downloading music from everywhere. You got your iTunes, you got your this and your that. Sometimes mm-hmm. you're lucky, and if your friend has a band, he'll be nice and send you a copy of an album on on Dropbox, and that's cool. And then he has to walk your stupid ass through downloading Dropbox, and then downloading the frickin' album into the Dropbox, and you're probably using the wrong words, but you're a dumbass and don't understand computers. So, there's that.
It's okay. It's gotten a lot simpler as of late, man. You could literally just click on something and just download it to your computer and be done.
I'll still break it. Anyway. I try to click the bell, and I break things. So, anyway.
He breaks the bell.
I break the bell. But anyway, the final real thing that would be our technology, you know, our technology upgrade would be for our movies, and that would be Blu-ray.
Yes.
And you say you remember your first Blu-ray. Well, I'm going to make you wait.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk about the first Blu-ray that I got.
And
it actually makes a total amount of sense for anybody that's listened to the podcast, anybody that that knows anything that I've loved recently in movies. Again, it's not Star Wars, which would make even more sense. And it's not Spielberg, interestingly enough. It was actually Marvel's Avengers.
Oh, wow. Okay. That was the first Blu-ray.
The interesting note about it was we had a death in the family. And as a result of the death in the family, my wife's grandmother had we had consolidated and moved all into a house together. My family, you know, my wife and me and my kids, and my wife's grandmother and one of my wife's sisters moved into a big house together. Because my wife's grandfather had passed away. Grandmother needed some help in finances, but also in just living and doing things. So we all kind of moved into one big house together. And when we did that, she had a Blu-ray player. We had not upgraded to a Blu-ray player yet, but she decided the Blu-ray player would serve best down in the living room, as opposed to, she was at that point living in a very, very large, like, those ensuite style master bedrooms. Like her walk-in closet was the size of a bedroom. I'm not even joking in that. You could literally walk, I mean, you could put a bed in that room and still walk around the bed. It was a huge, huge walk-in closet, like 12 foot by like 10 foot. I mean, it was
that's
a huge
not a closet. That's a whole
closet.
Room.
It is. It was a freaking room.
Yeah.
And so
I'm in a 10 by 12 bedroom right now.
Yeah,
like I'm relocated out of the studio because it's hella hot in there right now. And I mean, no, I couldn't imagine a closet being this size.
It was that size. We ended up getting like a 13 square foot, I think, refrigerator, like a little tiny, like not a super tiny one, but like a mid-sized apartment, small apartment refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
We got one of those and actually put it up in her closet because there was so much room. Put a table there for her to be able to, like, she basically had her own mini apartment up there. Because it was, I mean, it had the full master bath with like huge gigantic sink. She set herself up like a couple of different things to be able to cook with. She had a microwave up there. She basically had her own little apartment in this house that was this gigantic master bedroom. And the master bedroom was so big, she had her chair, she had a chair, a reclining chair, and her bed and her TV set up. But she had cable, and that's all she really wanted because she didn't really watch movies very much. She didn't, you know, she really didn't know how to use the Blu-ray player very well. She didn't feel like watching, trying to fight through it and work through it to watch movies. So it was literally like, and you remember that house? That was the house she came to for a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
remember that one?
Yes, yeah,
that
was yes.
That's that house. It was a big house, and her room was just massive. And so it was a nice setup for her. But as a result of having the Blu-ray, Avengers had come out roughly around that time, and so it was like, you know what? We're gonna get Avengers on Blu-ray now that we have a Blu-ray.
Nice.
And that's why we purchased. Interestingly enough, though, we had moved into the house before we bought the Avengers. The first movie that I watched, and I also bought my current TV at that time, which is a pretty decent sized TV. First movie that we watched on that TV with that Blu-ray player, Star Wars.
Nice.
Star Wars has to be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So what was your first Blu-ray, sir?
Okay. So my first Blu-ray is a funny story because I spent the longest time not having the capability to play Blu-ray. I had a DVD player, but I think there was a movie that I wanted to own that was Blu-ray exclusive, and I can't even remember what it was. But I went and bought a pawn shop and found a deal on a Blu-ray player that was cheap. It was like $10. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick up that Blu-ray player. It's like $10. And I got it because I wanted to go get another movie that was Blu-ray exclusive.
Yeah.
I still can't remember what it was. And if I remember right, I think it was like 2010 that I bought the Blu-ray player. Like I said, like $10. I was like, yeah, let's take it. So I took it. And inside the Blu-ray player was a copy of Hancock. So that technically is the first Blu-ray I ever bought or owned
because it happened to be sitting inside of the Blu-ray player that I purchased at the pawn shop, and it was never removed.
Wow.
I still have that Blu-ray disc.
I would hold on to it. That's, it's like, I mean, that's like the elevated version of when you're eating fast food fries from somewhere that serves multiple types of fries.
Right.
And you find the bonus fry or the bonus onion ring or whatever that's a different type.
Yeah.
This is kind of the media version of that. You know what, yeah, I mean? The storable media version of that. It's like, hey, bonus Blu-ray.
Yeah, hold exactly. On to
that bonus Blu-ray. Don't nobody touch your bonus Blu-ray. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was a bonus.
Yeah.
I actually bought a similar story. I bought a plastic kind of kids, it was designed for kids, but it was a San Francisco 49ers kind of plastic locker. Stands about 4 foot high. You know, door opens like a locker would, full length door opens, and it's red and black, got San Francisco 49ers stuff all over.
Okay.
Just a cheesy kids locker thing.
Yeah.
No, I just bought it because it was a 49er thing, because I'm a huge 49er fan. I'm like, this will look cool in my, you know, loft area, whatever. It's kind of neat looking. Well, I got it, brought it home, and as I'm bringing it home and I'm cleaning it out because it's dusty. It was at a thrift store, it's dusty. I'm cleaning it. I move it around and there's noise in the bottom. I check the bottom, and there's an actual, completely actual, you know, authentic Leatherman tool, you know, the multi-tools.
Yeah,
there's an actual Leatherman multi-tool in there.
Hell
in,
yeah,
the bottom of the thing. And it's like that tool is where I paid like $7 for this locker thing. That tool is worth way more than that.
Oh, hell, oh yeah, my God. score
bonus tool.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, yeah, you can never be unhappy with those things, and you always got to keep them.
Oh,
even,
yeah,
if they're not, like, I mean, admittedly, my bonus Leatherman tool is a lot better than a bonus Hancock Blu-ray. Because, I mean, let's face it, somebody sits down and wants to watch a Will Smith movie, they're not picking Hancock.
Right.
And if they are, if your friend calls you up and like, hey, we're going to watch a Will Smith movie, you go over to your friend's house, like, go watch this Will Smith movie, and they put in Hancock, get better friends. That's all I'm saying. But anywho, for it being a bonus one, still, that's awesome. You hold on to that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the perfect bonus. It's still a bonus thing. Like, I wasn't expecting to get this, but I got this and I'm happy to have gotten it.
Yeah. Here's the
thing. I'm going to be proud.
Think about that. That's one of those things that you're just like, I'm not going to go out and buy that movie. I'm not even going to stream that movie if I see it available to stream for free, but I got the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure I'm going to watch it. But it's okay, free.
Okay. you were scaring me for a second there. Like, well, since I have the Blu-ray, I'll just go ahead and watch it. No,
it's more about having it than actually wanting to see it.
I get you. I mean, I would love to own a copy. I'd love to own a copy of Citizen Kane. I don't want to watch it again. I've seen it once. That's all I need to see it.
You only need to see it once.
Yeah, you really only need to see that movie,
yeah,
once. There is no reason to see that movie more than once. If you want to see that movie more than once, you probably have a sleeping problem and are trying to find something to get you to go to sleep. And hey, I mean, if any insomniacs are listening, try the Citizen Kane
method.
If that doesn't put you to sleep, then you need some medication.
Complete total side thing. Yes. I watch a channel called Game Grumps all the time. I think I mentioned them on the show before. And I know I've shown you what they do, but
one of the things they break to
every once in a while when they're trying to do something technical is they go to this. They constantly reference this quote from a commercial from the 80s with Orson Welles in it, and it's a wine commercial about French wine.
Sorry, funny.
He's smash drunk while he's filming this. By the way, he's gotten drunk off of wine while he's doing it. And all you hear is he's like ad-libbing this segue from talking about the French in general and how they have a great, you know, a great taste and centuries worth of building wine culture and like all this shit. And then they go, it's Orson Welles drunk. Ah, yes. Yes, the French.
the French and the Ryan culture, and all this bullshit. It's hilarious to watch him just stumble his way through this ad lib. And it's actually about a winery in California. And that's the joke about it. That's the funniest part about him. They just finally used this take and we're just like, screw it. We're done working with this guy. This is what we're doing. And they aired the commercial. It's an actual commercial. They break to this commercial all the time. I'm going to have to find the commercial just to show you. And just for the hell of it, so everybody here is included in the joke, I'll just link it.
Please do.
It's worth watching because it's just the embarrassment. You feel the embarrassment of the crew while they're filming it because he's smashed out of his mind in this pitch. I can't believe they paid him, but it's worth watching. It's wonderful entertainment.
What do you expect is going to happen when the Academy, refuses to acknowledge the greatness of your film because some rich white guy is pissed off you made fun of him? Wait, that isn't still happening, is it? Hold on. Bad James, you're getting into political stuff. Don't talk about that stuff on the podcast. Anyway. I hope that y'all enjoyed listening and hearing about the kind of our personal first forays into the various technological media that we consume so much, our music and our movies and how we got those, the stories kind of behind why we got those things and what they meant to us. Hopefully you can recall the similar things in your life, maybe happily and maybe with some embarrassment. I would say don't be embarrassed unless you like purposely bought Hancock. Don't be embarrassed. because you shouldn't be embarrassed by the things that you love, because just because other people don't understand it doesn't mean that your love for it is diminished in any way, shape, or form.
Of course
not. Be proud and be happy of the things that you love. Absolutely. I can say this much. If like my wife was concerned about what other people thought about the things that she loved, I would be in a lot of trouble. Luckily, she's happy with the things that she loves. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Magical. Anyway, Mike.
Yes.
Where can people be listening to us? Possibly for the first time.
Well, you should be catching us at our website, thezenialchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. If you're listening to us on other mediums, you could be listening to us so many other places. Let's see. Spotify and TuneIn and Apple and
you seriously don't have all this down by now?
No, I don't have it all down.
I'm damn amazing at like segueing into Mike. Where can people be listening to us? I can just easily throw that into conversation. But then you start listening to stuff, it's like
here's the deal. It's cute. I'm gonna make this straightforward. We're gonna go from here. I'm not gonna label all this stuff. Here's the deal. Having to remember this entire laundry list of stuff is an absolute nightmare. So here's what we're doing. You can listen to us at thezenialchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. Check us out at multiple different podcast websites. If you search for us, you'll find us.
Yes.
And then on top of that as well, we also have a YouTube channel. Yes. Search for The Zenial Chronicles on YouTube. Our entire archive is available on YouTube. Every single episode.
Including some actual videos of the actual us.
Yeah, for you those, get to see our for, ugly for faces few, every once in a while, too.
Yeah, for those few people who have not actually met us in person, you get to see what we look like. Hint, I'm the fat one.
We're both a little chubby, at least, though. Come on, let's
be real. He's the one without a soul.
Yeah, that's accurate. So anyways, if you're on our YouTube page and you're listening to us, or you're watching whatever these videos are, please go ahead and click like on the video. Hit the subscribe button as well while you're there so you're notified the next time we actually have a video out or a podcast out. And click the bell icon as well.
Click the bell.
Yes, click that bell.
But not like I click the bell because I break it when I click it. I break the bell.
Don't break the bell. Just click it. Don't break it.
Don't break it. Anyway. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back again next week.
You guys have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.